North Carolina, so we should expect nothing less than that. But let me share with you some announcements. First of all, tonight, we're going to have a prayer and a fellowship dinner time from 5 to 7, and we encourage you, we hope that you can come out for that. This next Tuesday, we will not have our normal prayer gathering because of the Christmas week and all the last-minute preparations, especially for some of us who are challenged in that way this week. So, but we'll be meeting tonight. And one of the things that we have in the bulletin this week is an insert, an alliance call to prayer for Aleppo. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we have a sister church in the city of Aleppo, and they have been ministering this whole time there, and God has used them in great ways. But we want to pray for their protection. We want to pray for God's working in that city amongst those people. And so we pray for these requests on Tuesday, but we're also going to pray for them this evening. And so I'd encourage you to come and join with us as we pray for a city that is in just terrible straits right now. Also, remember that we have a Christmas Eve candlelight service that will take place at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and a Christmas Day service that will be at our normal time of 10 a.m. And the sermon for that day is entitled Jesus the Dragon Slayer. Okay? Jesus the Dragon Slayer. So you'll want to be here for that. I know Christmas morning, lots going on, but we encourage you to come for that time. We also want to welcome Brian and Melanie Sawyer. As if you haven't met the Sawyers, they're here as new members of the church. Please be sure to greet them after the service. I'm going to ask Jeff to come at this time. He's going to read our Advent reading and light a candle and pray for us this morning.
Our Advent reading today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 55. Mary's song. Beginning with verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Thank you, Jeff.
If you please stand.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. While he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's our gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled. And still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing. And ever o'er its babble sounds, the blessed angels sing. For though the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Our Lord Emmanuel. I wonder as I wander out under sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die, to save lowly people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, Jesus was born, it was in a cow stall, with shepherds and wise men and angels and all. The blessings of Christmas from heaven did fall. The weary world the Savior's call. If Jesus had wanted for any we think, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to see, he surely could have it, for he was the King. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die, to save lowly people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky.
There's a line in the song that says, even the angels must have cried when Jesus came, because they knew what he was coming to. And yet he was willing to come anyway. And we're grateful for that. We have the gift of Jesus at Christmas time. And we have the gift of salvation at Easter. And we just thank our Savior for coming for us, to save us from ourselves. We pray in his name. Amen. You can be seated. Those going to bring the offering would come forward.
Father, I'm thankful.
kids can be dismissed for Kids Corner.
I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We've been working our way, well, not really working our way, but looking at different aspects of the genealogy of Christ. And this will be our last Sunday to look at that, but I want us to consider once again Matthew chapter 1 and some interesting things for us to consider as we look at Christmas and the rest of our lives. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for this time and your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is rich. It's full of truth. It's full of hope. And I thank you that we can experience that during the Christmas season. And not only during this season, Lord, but all of life. We are thankful that we can go to your word in all circumstances and that we can find you in the word and we can look at your promises and we can trust, we can believe that you will meet our needs. This day, Lord, as we consider your word, speak to our hearts. Please encourage us in the things of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you just a question as we begin. How are you with waiting? How are you with waiting? There's nothing like, I think, the excitement of a child that they have as they wait for Christmas morning. I remember as a kid waiting for Christmas morning, my favorite day of the year. I liked Christmas even better than my birthday. And it was always exciting because rarely could I sleep the night before. Now I sleep fine the night before. But rarely back then I could, I had trouble sleeping because of just the excitement I had waiting for the next day. And it seemed like that was the longest night in all the year. On the other hand, I found that during the Christmas season, you encounter some of the most impatient people of all that you'll find at any time of the year. Mainly shoppers for whom life is really not that much of a joyful experience because it's not moving fast enough. You know the people I'm talking about, and maybe you're even one of them. You know, these folks get in the checkout line, and you hear sighing. As they consider how many people are in front of them. Some look at their watch as if that's going to make the line move quicker. Or they look at the cashier and they roll their eyes as if to say, "You've got to be kidding me." And then there are always those few outspoken, rather loud and obnoxious individuals who complain to their line buddies. As they wait, "Wow, this cashier is slow." Or "Why is she talking to that guy?" Or there's a checkout stand that there's nobody there. Why don't they just open another checkout? Now, none of you have ever said that, have you? Waiting is hard for us in America. We live in a culture of the immediate. When we want something, we want it now. Because we live in this country, we believe we deserve it. Fast food, fast computers, faster speed limits without traffic, online shopping to avoid lines. It all caters to our lack of patience in waiting. Well, you can do your best to avoid waiting this Christmas season by shopping online or hitting the stores early. There is one area in all of life, no matter the time of year, where one needs to develop patience, where waiting is the way to blessing in life. Let me explain. We've been looking at the genealogy of Jesus. And in looking at the long line of ancestors who are listed in the genealogy, we come to realize something very quickly. And that is that the promise of the Messiah took generations to fulfill. It took a lot of waiting. A lot of waiting on the part of those who were looking for the Anointed One, who were looking for the Messiah, the promised King of the Jews. In verse 1 of Matthew 1, we read that Jesus was the son of Abraham. I mean, think about that for a moment. You've got to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. You've got to go back to the book of Genesis. That's where we read about Abraham and the promise that God made to him. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your family's family, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." I wonder when Abraham received that promise, I wonder if he was thinking, how soon will this take place? Do you? To be honest with you, however, we need to even go back further than Abraham to Genesis chapter 3. In verses 14 and 15, where God begins to reveal his redemptive plan as he confronts the serpent Satan. "Then the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust, as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'" God himself foretold, he prophesied, that one would come who would crush the head of Satan and defeat all evil. I mean, think about that for a moment. It was centuries. No, it was even longer than that. It was millennia before God's prophecy was fulfilled. And the angel Gabriel came to a young woman by the name of Mary, and he shared these words with her. "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born with you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And I love the last line that Gabriel shares, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. Later in the chapter, as Jeff read, Mary sang this song or prayed this prayer where she expressed her confidence with these lyrics. "He has remembered to be merciful to Abraham, just as he promised our ancestors." All the way back, Israel had been waiting for this Messiah, this promised king. And now, he was to be born. The promise was a long, long time in coming. In fact, it was so long that 400 years prior to the birth of Christ, No prophets were sent to the people. They had not heard from God for over 400 years. No Messiah, nothing from God whatsoever. What was that all about? In those dark days, it certainly looked like, and I'm sure felt like, God had forgotten his people and that he had reneged on his promise. It must have seemed like no one was coming, and then out of the silence, out of the darkness, a great light shined, and Jesus, the Messiah, was born. What do you learn from this about God? We learn that we cannot judge God by our calendar. Have you learned that yet? God may appear to be slow. God may even appear to forget his promises. He has never, however, reneged on one of his promises, and he never will. He is always faithful. He may seem to be working slowly in your life, or even to be forgetting his promises, but when his promises come true, and they will come true every time, the experience is always beyond what you or I can imagine. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11, records these words from God. God says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything that you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow will come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." In other words, God says to us, you might think these promises that you find in my word should work out in a certain way along a specific timeline which you determine. But what I promise will happen the way I intend for it to happen, and not a moment sooner. God's timing is one of the main themes of the story of the Nativity. In fact, God's timing is one of the main themes of his word, the word of God. Consider the story of Joseph. You remember him, don't you? Probably most of us here do. For years it seemed as though God was ignoring his prayers while allowing him to experience one disaster after another in his life. But in the end, it became obvious that God was in control the whole time, and that every negative experience that Joseph had, God used to protect and save his people. Probably Joseph's most important declaration in all that he experienced was made to his brothers who had sold him into slavery years before. He said this to them when he let them know who he was, when he revealed his identity. In Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people." You see, God's timing in answer to his promises is always perfect timing. When Jesus was born, it was perfect timing. God's timing. He was faithful to his word. Or consider a story that we looked at in the Gospel of Mark some time ago in chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. You remember Jesus had been called to the home of Jairus. Jairus was a religious leader in those days. And do you remember why he was called to Jairus' home? Jairus' young daughter was sick. As a matter of fact, she was on the verge of death. And all of Jairus' hopes and dreams for his daughter were in Jesus and his ability to heal her. He had heard what he had done before. And so Jesus went to, or Jairus went to Jesus and asked him to come to his home. And along the way, through crowds of people, it seems as though Jesus was distracted. And en route, he stops to help a woman who had a blood disorder. And during the delay, the worst thing imaginable happens. Jairus' daughter dies. She dies. That might have seemed like the end of the story for everyone there. Jesus, in fact, his timing seems to be a bit off there. Until it became clear a little later in the story as he brings the little girl back to life. God's grace virtually never operates on our time frame or on a schedule that we would consider reasonable. As we read in Isaiah chapter 55, he does not follow our agendas or schedules. Have you learned that valuable lesson in the Christian life, in your own life? When Jairus' servant brought the news that his daughter had died, Jesus spoke to the despairing father and gave him a rather unexpected message. He didn't try to comfort him. He didn't try to console him. But what did he say to Jairus? He said, "Believe, Jairus. Believe." With that one word of counsel, Jesus was saying, if you want to impose your time frame on me, you will never feel loved by me. And it will be your fault because I do love you and I will fulfill my promises in your life. When we have to wait on God, it seems to us as if he has forgotten his promises. But he always comes through. And he comes through in ways that we can't imagine that he'll come through. I mean, think of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, who this whole genealogy is based on. The divine King of kings and Lord of lords was born in a stable, in the feeding trough of cattle, not in an opulent palace, as one would expect the birthplace of a king to be. I'm sure that was Israel's dream, that this Messiah, this king who would come and save them, would be born in a palace. And he confounded all expectations. But it was only by coming in weakness as he did, and dying on the cross as he did, that he could save us from such terrifying judgment that he did. God keeps his promises. He always does. He's always faithful to his word. Now, hearing this, it is possible that some might be thinking, well, God has kept his promises to me. But I've not done a very good job in keeping my promises to God. There are many people right now in the world, and maybe you're one of them, who feels like, you know, I've messed up my life so much that it can't be made right. I think there are a lot of Christians that are in that state today. Maybe you know some. If you feel this way, I want you to look at the genealogy of Jesus once again. In verse 2, we read about Jacob, who was the father of Judah, and an ancestor of Jesus. Do you know his story? Do you know why Judah was a child of Jacob? Jacob lied and deceived his father, Isaac. He deceived him to get the firstborn's birthright that should have gone to his brother Esau. And because of that deception, Jacob fractured his family. He turned Esau against him. And he had to run for his life from his own home as a fugitive. I mean, think of this. He lost his family. He experienced terrible consequences for his sin. And yet God used all of his mistakes and allowed him to meet Leah through these mistakes, who became his wife, so that Judah might be born and be an ancestor to the Messiah. Amazing, isn't it? There is always hope with Christ. There is always hope. If you've blown it big time in life and not kept your promises to God, you can go to him, you can confess your sin, and guess what? He'll forgive you, just as he promised he would forgive you. What Jacob did was wrong, and he suffered for it. And yet God is greater than all our sin. He used all that repugnance, all that stupidity, all of that sin of Jacob's to bring about his promise. God can take all of our screw-ups and even use those for his purposes. And guess what? He does. He does. In closing, I want you to remember this. With God, there is no second best. Christmas means that God is working out his purposes in the world. He will fulfill his promises to us. And so this Christmas, as you consider the fact that God fulfilled his promise in the sending of his son, remember this. Remember this. It may seem in your life that God has forgotten you. It may seem in your life that he has forgotten his promises to you as found in the Bible, his word. But know this, right now, he is in the process of arranging all that will fulfill his great promises in your life and in the lives of others. We'll leave you with this verse, this promise from the Lord, as given by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where he encourages us with this promise, and it's true. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think. Let's pray together. Lord, I am so thankful this morning that you are a God who keeps his promises. That you, O Lord, are faithful to your word. And that, Lord, while it seemed to take such a long time for Jesus to come, he came at just the right time. At the right time, the time that you had foreordained in all of history for him to come. He came as our Savior. And I'm thankful that for the promises that you have made through his life and his death and his resurrection to all of us. That if we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Our sins will be forgiven. And we will have eternal life. We thank you for those promises. Lord, I pray for those here this morning that because of one event or one experience or more in their lives, they feel away from you. Help them to remember your promises, Lord, that while even though they might have been unfaithful to you, you have always been faithful to them. And while they might have turned their back on you, you have never left them, nor forsaken them. We thank you for your promises, Lord. We pray that today you would encourage us and strengthen us as we consider all that you have done for us in the bringing of your Son. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you please stand.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. The earth with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Derek, would you please close our service in prayer?
Thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God, even when we are faithless. Lord, I pray that we would live with hope and expectancy and assurance that you are a God that keeps his promises. May we live in such a way to bring glory to you in our own lives, especially as we approach this Christmas season, that people may see who you are and your character and turn to you, the living hope, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we leave, I'd really appreciate some help in setting up for tonight for our prayer gathering and our fellowship dinner. If you feel strong.